To those of you joining us, we'll be starting in about 2 minutes. Welcome, everyone. This is Greg Nathanson. Thanks so much for joining me on this rainy afternoon in Northern California. Today in my show, I'm going to cover the topic of my new book, How to Find the Right Work for You During Challenging Times. During the call, if you have any questions, please hit star 6, and you could ask away. And then after you've finished, please hit star 6 to mute yourself again. So let's start out by talking about this concept of right work. You know, every day on the news, and I'm sure many of you have experienced, there's this sort of, you know, panic reaction around, I need a job. Government has to create more jobs. I need a job. Job, 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 job. And unfortunately, what I find in my work is that people, especially those after 40, tend to go after jobs which resemble what they did before, which they may be good at, but they didn't necessarily enjoy. And, you know, in an economy which is down right now, and there's a lot of competition, I suggest this isn't the best strategy. So the concept I have under finding the right work is really for each of you to think about what would be the right work for you. And I'll get into that in a couple minutes. I think to start out, we have to go through some definitions. So let me start with the definitions. First, let's define what does wrong work mean. To me, wrong work is when you get up in the morning and you go to a job which just feels empty. You don't necessarily like the work. You don't necessarily like the people you work with. You don't like going there. The best part of your day is coming home. You may get awards and, you know, Friday afternoon lunches and bonuses, but deep inside, you know that this work is just not fulfilling to you. It's repetitive, and you ask yourself, why am I doing this? You sort of have a feeling that this work isn't very coherent for you. In other words, you can't really figure out why you're the one that's doing this. With wrong work, you just don't feel energized. You know, you get up in the morning, and you think of all the reasons why you'd rather not go to work. You see people on the street as you're going to work, and you think, God, I wish I was them going somewhere else. Wrong work is depressing. It affects your relationships. It affects how you feel about yourself. You know, I did wrong work for almost 30 years, maybe 28 years to be exact. And I can tell you how it feels from personal experience. This is before all of my doctoral work and books and speaking and, you know, what I've been doing the last 10 years. Wrong work to me just felt like a waste of time. At one level it made sense. I mean, it, you know, provided income, it fed my family, gave me somewhere to go and somewhere to leave. But I knew all along that it just didn't feel right. I always felt like I was broken. I used to ask myself, which actually led me to this work, why do all these people around me seem like they like their work? What's wrong with me? Am I broken? It wasn't until years later that I realized I wasn't broken. I was just in the wrong spot. So, you know, I know what it's like to get up in the morning and go to wrong work, and I did it for a very, very long time. Wrong work can actually have an effect on your health. I had a client once. He went through a very painful divorce. His boss, around the same time, died of cancer. He lost custody of his kids. And so all of a sudden, he found himself alone without any money, a small apartment, and really, a critical need to make some income. So he took a job as a car salesman. And I remember him telling me once, he said, Craig, you know, I'm making just enough money to pay this rent, but every day I go to sell cars, I feel like I'm prostituting myself. I feel like I'm just, you know, giving myself away. It's like the worst feeling in the world. I'd almost rather not be here, he said, which was very profound at the time, as I can remember. And so that's one extreme. You know, when you do work, and by the way, I should say that later he ended up following his passion, which was to buy and restore old houses, and today he's doing quite well. He's remarried and quite happy. But wrong work can really have a huge impact on your not only your mental condition, but on your physical self as well. I had another client who, although she had a PhD in art, for 30-plus years she was an assistant, an administrative assistant in a big corporation in the training department. And every day for 30 years, she scheduled classes. And it got so bad at one point, she just wished she was fired. And then one day, she was fired. And today she's calls herself the art coach, and she spends her life at the age of 75, going on 76, helping people all over the world place their art in museums, helping artists. So sometimes doing wrong work can last a very, very long time. In this case, over 30 years. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's anyone on this call who would like to just come back and join me in 30 years, let me know. It's not necessary. You know, as a college professor, I also teach younger people in their 20s, and it's interesting. They say to me, Professor Nathanson, I don't want to be like you, working 30 years at something I don't like in order to find out what I do like. So the audiences I have the most trouble reaching are those in the 30s. You know, we get in the 30s and we're just running around so fast and we don't know how to stop. In fact, this is kind of how life works, right? We get our first job when we're 19, 20. It's a sexy job. It pays well. Our parents are proud of us and all those things. And we just start making money. And it's not until we get to around 30 that we develop family and financial responsibilities, and we're running so fast, it's not until we hit a crisis, usually around 40, give or take a few years, financial, emotional, a layoff, an illness, where we say, wow, maybe I should do something different. So wrong work is a very serious condition. I wish Obama and Congress now would actually spend more time focusing on how do we solve wrong work for people in this economy, instead of trying to solve how do we create more jobs. I think we have enough jobs. We have enough mundane, boring, useless, non-value-added, is that good enough, jobs right now. I don't think we need any more. In fact, I don't think we need any more jobs. What we need is to help people find right work. Because wrong work is very, very serious. It's very, very, very serious. So enough of wrong work. Let me move to right work, but by the way, if there's any questions from the audience, go ahead and just hit, you know, star 6 now or any time, and you could ask away. I'm going to keep speaking, but if you want to, maybe I'll pause. Are there any questions from anybody out there? Any comments? Okay. Well, I'm going to keep talking. If there are, let me know. Anybody? Okay. Well, let's move to more of a positive note. And that is right work. What is right work? What's the definition of right work? I'll give you my definition. You know, I've been living it for 10 years, but let me give you sort of a generic definition, I think, which is you get up in the morning, you can't wait to go to work. Wherever your work is, whatever you're doing, you're really excited about it. You feel enthused. You almost want to pinch yourself because you're afraid someone's going to discover you. The work feels like it's a natural alignment of your abilities and your interests. The work is challenging for sure, but you know how to do it, so it matches high challenge and high skills. You feel good about yourself. Your relationships are happier. You know, Monday's the best day of the week, and Friday's the worst because you have to wait till the following Monday to continue. With right work, it just, I don't know how to explain it, everyone. It just feels right, you know? It feels like this is what I should be doing at this point in my life. It's a good feeling. It's a happy feeling. You feel enthused. You know, you just want to jump up and cheer people. I mean, it just feels good. You know, I've been doing right work for almost 10 years now. The majority of my work is helping people over 40 to discover and do what they love, and yet this is what I do, and that's right work for me. You know, I think you're better at your job, of course I don't call it a job, at your work, you know, when you do right work, your customers benefit. I think the people I work with probably do a lot better working with me because I love what I do. You know, right work to me, it's just amazing. It sort of, in some ways, it feels like the days go too fast. It's like, could the days slow down a little bit because things are moving so fast? You know, most of the time, everyone, I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day of the month it is. I don't even know what year it is. I'm almost 54, and I can tell you that in some ways I want life to slow down because it just goes so fast. When you do right work, that's how it feels. Every day you can't wait to get an email or a phone call, most of the time, because it all relates to stuff that you want to do. Right work just feels right to you. Example, I can remember one client I had who was in corporate America in organizational life as a consultant. He didn't like it very much at all, and he was also struggling with what he should do, and then he got laid off. That was his crisis, and we worked together, and to make a long story short, he discovered that, you know, he had a son who was a teenager who was autistic, and he had spent, he and his wife, many, many years trying to figure out the best way to work with their son, and in the end, this person decided that right work for him was to start a service with his wife, helping other families who had autistic kids, and teach them how to get to the right resources and how to work with their kids who had this challenge, etc. And that became right work for him. And so sometimes finding right work is right under your nose. You know, you have to look, which I'll speak about in a few minutes, about, you know, where are you expert at? Where are you an expert at, and how could you utilize what's right under your nose in terms of your own knowledge, your own skills? What do you know most about? One thing to think about right now is if you had to give a talk tomorrow, if I said, look, tomorrow you're going to give a talk to 100 people, you have to talk for 30 minutes, and you're not allowed to have any notes, what would you talk about? In fact, I'm going to give you a minute now, and I'm going to have silence. I'd like you to take a piece of paper, and I'm going to give you a minute, and answer this question. If you had to give a talk tomorrow in a big auditorium in front of 100 people, and you had to stand up and talk without any notes about a topic that you felt pretty passionate about, what could you talk about? I'm going to give you 1 minute right now. Seconds. Finish up those thoughts. What would you talk about? And as you write this down, think about why you would talk about that. 10 seconds. Finish up. Good. Good. Okay. Well, so that's a start. I would suggest that whatever you came up with probably in a very direct way relates to what would be right work for you. That would be my guess. You know, I had another client. She worked for 36 years for a government agency and then a nonprofit agency in an office job doing research. And one day she decided to quit and follow her passion, which was to work outside. And today she's a docent. She gives tours. She works in various parks, and she discovered that her love of being in nature as sort of a hobby, an avocation, ended up being the thing that she wanted to do for her work. And she made it into right work for her. I get this question all the time. Well, you know, Craig, I have hobbies, but, you know, I wouldn't want to make that my right work because, you know, then I might hate it. I might be bored. And my response to that is, look, I'd rather have you take a chance being burnt out every day doing what you love, what was your hobby, versus doing what you don't love. So, think about what it is that you really love to do, and how could you start to do more of that. In this client's example, she as soon as she started working outside, she came up with more ideas, which involved nature, and today she's doing about 6 things. And by the way, I recommend in this economy, everyone should have at least 5 sources of revenue. If you don't have 5 sources of revenue coming in now from 5 different people, then I want you to start on that. I think this is probably worth an exercise. In just a second, I'm going to give you another minute. These are all minute exercises. It only takes about a minute to come up with new ideas. I'll show you how to do this in a second. I want you to make a list of what are five sources of revenue you can come up with right now to make money. And, you know, I don't care how much money at this point. It could be a dollar. In fact, let's make it a dollar. You know, I want you to take a moment and list on a piece of paper. Where are there five different areas, different sources of revenue you could start to make, which come from different people, different customer bases, where you could make, you know, at least a dollar? So I'm going to give you a minute. Let me block your analytical minds. Let's see. Think about the last time you went to the circus. Okay, good. That should take care of your left side of your brain. Now use your right side and take a piece of paper and write five sources of income that are different. I'll give you 1 minute. Go. Good. Keep going. Take another 30 seconds or so. Five sources of income. What would it be? Whatever comes to mind, just write it down. Okay, 15 seconds. Finish up. Good start. Good, okay. If you got stuck on this exercise, it's helpful to think about five sources of income that all relate to each other so that they complement each other. You know, better to be a speaker and a writer than to be a speaker and to work at Home Depot in the afternoon, if you follow my drift. You know, in my case, I get asked this question all the time, like, you know, what are the things I do? You know, I write and publish books, and I give workshops, and I speak, and I'm a college professor, and I do teleclasses like this. I create products, and all those things for me kind of all fit together, and they're all in the same content. They're all around helping people develop in one way or another. So when you look at your list, see if you could find areas that sort of relate to each other. Otherwise, it can be difficult, you know, if you work at Home Depot in the afternoon and have a paper out in the morning. But those things might work if they're all helping you toward a greater path. One more exercise before I bring on my exciting guest this afternoon. Take a minute and write down, oh, by the way, you can stop thinking of the circus now. Take a moment and think about what would be right work for you, given the definitions and the discussions we're having so far. What do you think is right work for you, whether you're doing it or not right now? What does your intuition tell you? I'm going to give you 1 more minute, and I want you to write down whatever comes to mind. What would right work be for you? And make sure it's what your heart is telling you, not what others think right work should be. Okay? I'm going to give you a minute. Go ahead. What would right work be for you? Let's make some notes. Okay, take about 30 seconds. Finish up. What would right work be for you? Finish your last couple thoughts. Okay, good. Good. Good start, good work. You know, every time you think a thought, it leads to a new thought. Did you ever see that? And so all these things you're writing down this afternoon will lead to other thoughts. So I'm going to take a little break and bring on my guest this afternoon, and then I'll continue talking a bit. You know, I like to bring on clients who are really role models of everything that I'm talking about so that you can hear other people speak about their journey and get ideas yourself. And so for that reason, I'm really excited to bring on my guest this afternoon. I could explain her story, but I think I'm going to make it brief because I'm anxious to speak to her. Anna Suya, or as I like to call her, Anu, has really started Anu, no pun intended. You know, Anu has a PhD, she spent many years in high tech, and now she made the transition because she found that that life was empty for her. And today she's a spiritual healer, really making a difference through her books and her workshops and her private practice. And so I'm really excited to bring on Anu today. Hello, Anu, how are you? If you're out there.
Hi, Craig. You know, can you hear me?
I can now. It's always the biggest fear of any host when he reaches out to his guests and they're not there. Good to hear you. How are you today?
I'm great. It's a nice little break where I am in the weather. Sunny.
Good, good. Now, you're in Northern California, right?
Yes, over in Moraga.
Uh-huh, good, good. So we're not that far from each other. Anu, I have some questions for you. So can you think back to when you did wrong work and tell us how that felt? Like, what was your definition in those days of doing wrong work?
Well, I'll give you descriptions. Like, I think they're similar to what you mentioned earlier, but I think one of the big things was, like, I couldn't be present for the work I was trying to do,
mm-hmm.
and I was constantly in what I call low level fight or flight, which is, I guess, what we call stress. And I really think that's an artifact of our modern society. And so I tried to get things done as quickly as I could so I could focus on something else that was more meaningful. But I never could get enough time for those things. And when you're efficient, you know, people give you more stuff to do. So at the end of the day or the week or the month, I never really felt satisfied with my work, no matter how much I had done.
You know, and that's the problem when you're efficient. That, you know, if most of us were terrible at our at wrong work, you know, at our wrong work, it would be easier because then we'd all get fired probably, and then we could move on to right work. But most of us are pretty good at and efficient, as you say, at wrong work, and that keeps most of us in wrong work far too long. Don't you think?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and you know, it would be a lot more helpful if we weren't good at things that are the wrong work. I mean, we would just more naturally be pushed to the things that are satisfying to us.
Yeah. How did you know in your own journey that this was wrong work? I mean, what was kind of the trigger point for you?
Well, there's a couple of things that told me that it was wrong, even though I wasn't getting the message. The things I mentioned before, but also I had the sense in my body. I had tension in my solar plexus, in the back of my neck, and upper shoulders, constantly a sense of frustration, chronic frustration. And it was, you know, that work was draining. So the more I did, the worse I felt. And the trigger was actually, there were a lot of triggers, but besides all the negative experiences in the wrong work. But I had a dream that I was a professional writer and had published, and my high school English teacher was in this dream, and I asked her, wasn't this strange? Because in my perception of that time, there were other people who were the writers in my class. And so when she answered in the dream, no, it makes perfect sense, that was surprising to me. And when I woke up, it was sort of a jolt, a realization that, oh, I need to start writing again. This is something I've always loved to do. And then I started taking classes, and not just in writing, but in photography, and I continued to pick up the threads that I had kind of set down for a few years as I got more and more workload in the wrong work. And those threads were the yoga, the meditation, and the energy medicine, which is a healing art form that I'm practicing now.
Mm-hmm.
So that dream was really the trigger.
Yeah, you know, I think we should pay attention to our dreams more than we do. I've had a reoccurring dream for 10 years that I'm back in organizational life doing wrong work. It's like I finally, after a lot of help, figured out that this dream was just my body's way of telling me never to look back and to be grateful and appreciative of what I do now. Because I've had this dream, I think, for 10 years. So dreams are very powerful.
Yeah, it's a constant. You have a nice constant reminder.
Yeah, I never dream about the, I never dream about the dream. My dreams have nothing to do with my work I'm doing now. Only always with my past life. Like I'm in a meeting and I go to speak and nothing comes out of my mouth, or my boss walks in and I'm in my underwear, or I'm in charge of 50 people and I have my first staff meeting and we all sit down and I have absolutely no idea what to say. Of course, none of those things ever happen, but those are my dreams. So I think
well,
we have to
when
pay
you're
more
living,
than, yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, when you're living the same as the right work, then you're in this waking dream, right? So you don't have to dream about it at night because you're living it.
Yeah, and actually that's an interesting point because when I was doing wrong work anew, now that you mention this, I think my dreams dealt with being free and being outdoors and doing something that I didn't know at the time that was completely different from what I was doing. I just wanted to be let out of what I called job prison in those days.
Yeah, job prison.
You mentioned body signals. I think for all of you on the call, we have people actually from all throughout the U.S. and in Canada and a couple places in Europe and Australia listening in today. And I want to say to all of you that listen to your body. You know, I wrote in my first book my own story that when I, about 10 years ago, I was in one of my last presentations in corporate America. I was giving a presentation on the budget, and I was in front of the board, and I was pointing to, you know, ad nausea PowerPoint slide with a bunch of numbers on it, or maybe it was an Excel spreadsheet. And all of a sudden, I felt warm, and I started to sweat, and I although I knew these numbers really well, all of a sudden my mind blanked. I had no idea what I was talking about. I looked out at the people in the audience, which included my boss and his boss and his boss and his boss, and all of a sudden I could just, like, care less about them. I thought to myself, why am I here? And I almost fainted, and they said, Craig, you know, you don't look very good. Maybe you should go home. You look like you're, you know, you have the flu. And I said, okay, and I left, and, of course, I'll cut to the short part of my story. You know, I never came back. Turned out that that time I listened to my body. But how many times does that really happen? So, Anu, I think it's very important to listen to our bodies.
I think so, and if we don't, we get chronic disease. I think that's, and that's part of that fight or flight, constant fight or flight.
Yeah, I think that's why disease, if you look at the word, is really dis-ease, right? And it's really dis-ease
right.
Some part of our life. Well, let's move to a happier note. Now that you're doing what you love, by the way, if I met you on an elevator and I said, "So, Anu, what do you do?" What would you say?
I would say I do work that connects and shares with people through multiple avenues. So I write, I take photos, and I practice energy medicine. I also teach and lead workshops. And I would also probably say that the right work is contributing to an increase in the collective consciousness that is helping people grow their personal power, but with heart.
Wow, I really like that. You know, to everyone listening today, what is your definition of right work, if you were going to give your own definition of right work? You know, like this, like a, just a definition, what would you say?
Of right work.
Somebody asked you, what does that mean?
I would say that it's a work that brings meaning to you, brings meaning to those you're connected with, and at the end of the day, you feel not only satisfied, but healthy after you've done your work.
Wow.
So, and that's kind of a broad, you know, broad stroke.
I really like that. I have to tell a story. You know, for most of my 28 years in corporate America, I never appreciated, to be honest, I really never appreciated my family life at night. What I mean by that is I would come home and I would want to, like, have dinner and then just play with family, watch TV, lay on the couch, whatever, and just relax and sort of recharge for the next day. I never could do that. I always had this sense of anxiety, and the reason was, which I realized later, was because I was so empty during the day that I couldn't relax at night. And I remember being so jealous of so many people at work who would say, "Oh, I'm going home tonight, we're going to have a barbecue, and then I'm going to watch his favorite show of mine or help Bobby with his homework." And, oh, I wanted to do all those things, but I couldn't because I just felt so sad inside. I had so much anxiety. And now maybe only in the last 5 years have I been able to finally, you know, come home after, just a wonderful day of working with clients and say, wow, that was fantastic. I can't wait to do this tomorrow, but now I'm going to go relax. I'm going to watch American Idol with the kids. We're going to have a great dinner. My wife and I are going to share some time together. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to go to the gym. And so I found that, you know, when you do right work, you really appreciate your downtime. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think what you described also is that you're energized by the right work, so that it's filling you up as much as you're giving. And then when you're done with that work, you have energy for the other things in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. This is Lori. Craig, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Yeah, this actually exactly what was just mentioned. I see it as you're getting energy from your work versus exhaustion. You know, like you're always tired, and that's really what I think would kind of fall into that category, more of energizing versus being exhausted and tired all the time. You know,
yeah,
that's what I am looking for.
I'm glad you're
so excited, you know. You're so excited to, you mentioned it earlier, so excited to go to work every day. Every day is different. I have a lot of those things now where everything's different all the time, which is great, but that energy piece is, you know, what I'm looking for, too, you know.
Anu, what would you say to Lori? How would you respond to that?
Well, I would say that part of the work and part of what helped me as I go through this transition and as I go through any work that I would do is to address all the levels of ourselves. And that would be the physical, the mental, emotional, the soul's journey, or the spirit, and also just the purely energetic. And so sometimes we don't address those two, the sort of the soul and the energy, but just a pure energy body. And so it can be, of course, these things are interacting and they're going to, the one thing is going to help the other, but I think focusing on the energy body itself can also help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I would also add, Lori, just think about, you know, what activities can you switch to, you know, step by step, slowly, you know, one step at a time, that will give you more energy in your life? You know, what are the specific things? And you start small. I mean, you know, short of being fired or quitting, which sometimes happens. You know, what are some things you could do now, right, that is start to give you more energy? Because otherwise, it's like being in a basketball game behind, you know, 80-20 at the fourth quarter. You're never going to catch up.
Yeah. Just working with different teams and working on project specific. To me, that is where I get my most energy from. And I'm running around doing different things and trying to solve problems and issues and get people to a table and let's try and figure this out. And getting people to, you know, sometimes it's hard to get everybody in line as far as get the same agenda, right? You have people coming from different groups and have different agendas. So there's that challenge too. But it's nice when everybody's working together and has the same goal and has the same agenda, and we're, you know, the bottom line, you're just trying to make things more effective for the business, right? But I'm still trying to figure out overall what do I want to do when I grow up. I'm trying to still figure that out. And Craig, I've been in one of your classes before, one of the HR classes. So I've actually finished that certification program, so I'm trying to figure out, do I want to go back into HR and do that realm and go more into organizational development, or do I want to go into more project management? And so that's kind of, but I'm looking for something that is good stress versus bad stress.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is kind of what we're talking about. And that's really hard to find in this economy and this, in today's market.
Yeah, I think you have to look.
Bad stress.
Well, I mean, what Lori has just described, everyone, is probably what everyone on this call is going through or has gone through. And before I get back to asking Anu a couple of last questions, let me just comment on that. I think two things you could do is, one, you know, think about where the content in your work needs to change. You know, sometimes you know, we know what we like to do, but the content we're working on is incorrect for us. You know, ask yourself, Lori, and others, you know, what work must emerge through me? Really sit down and reflect. What work must emerge through me right now? And to think about, you know, if you took a piece of paper, I do this with my clients, it's sort of an interesting exercise. Take a piece of paper and draw four columns. In the first column, you write product or service. So if you were going to be Lori Incorporated, you know, what product or service would you most want to sell that would get you most excited? You know, even if you end up working for other people, which a lot of us will, it's still the same exercise to go through. So what product or service, right, product or service would you like to sell? And then what would be the features of those products or services? You know, to really think through the details, features would be things like, you know, if you buy a car, it has air conditioning, right? And then benefits. What would be the benefits of this product or service that you would sell to someone else? And then finally, niche audience. This is very important. You know, who do you want to work with most? Do you want to work with kids? Do you want to work with women? Do you want to work with men? Do you want to work with senior citizens, people that love boats, people that swim, etc.? Just going through that exercise can be helpful to start to think about, you know, where you want to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask Anu a few final questions here. Anu, what do you think helped you transition? You know, Lori is an example of someone who sort of loves she loves, I think, to some extent what she does, but maybe the content has to change. But neither way, she's a little stuck. And what did you do? What helped you most with your transition from wrong work to right work?
Right. Can I comment on the exercise you just gave her?
You can, of course.
Okay. So it's a great exercise, and there's different ways you can do that exercise. And so if sitting and reflecting, if stuff comes through, that's great, and the products and services. And another way you can add to that is to do a collage or to find images that speak to you. So you bypass the analytical and go to the intuitive. So you can listen to music, you can look at images, you can go for a walk and do this exercise with those that language, which is the language of the mythic. So I just wanted to add that to the exercise.
Beautiful, beautiful, nice.
And I think that's what helps me transition or start something and finish it, is to do work on that level, work on the energetic level, try to keep fit, keep exercising, eating right, and so pay attention to all those parts of myself. But also, and this is probably in both on the soul level and the mental and emotional level, I need to connect with other people and build relationships and ask for help when I need help. And I asked for help from Craig, and I've gotten a lot of help there. And to build a team, a supportive team. And so even if you start out with just yourself on your team, then you can build your team from there, just even one person at a time. And I think that's really helpful as well. And then on the spiritual, the energetic, that's a practice just like exercising or eating right. So those are things that have helped me.
Nice. And so last question, Anu, what are you doing to keep yourself recharged, you know, every day and to grow and celebrate your new life?
Well, celebrating is actually kind of hard for me because I think, okay, you're done with that. Now, what's next? You got another thing you have to accomplish. But I try to do more of that, and I try to do little ceremonies. If you do this, if you really do celebrate, you anchor in that experience, that learning, and you get used to that as what is normal. And then that also gives you a moment to gather energy for the next thing that you're trying to do. So I do little ceremonies, lighting candles, listening to special music, or making a nice meal. And then I tell other people who I know are supportive, because that is great feedback and energy that you get. And sometimes I take myself to something like a movie or a day off to do nothing, or sunset, go somewhere to see a sunset. Those types of things, celebration, ceremony.
Yeah, and that's really important because, you know, only we could decide what's the best reward for us. Unlike organizational
right.
life, which typically assumes that everyone will just enjoy the same reward. So that's very, very, very good insight. Anu, how could we keep in contact with you? What are some of your current projects as we wrap up with our interview today?
Well, my website is startyourjourney.com, mm-hmm. and on there there's contact information. My email address is chartyourjourney@yahoo.com, which is also on the website. I'm getting together workshops. I have private practice at Levon Spa Boutique in Lafayette, and I also travel to people's homes and other spaces around the Bay Area. And I've got a short story collection that I'm working on, as well as I'm getting my photography online that you can purchase online sometime in the next week, hopefully.
Fantastic. Well, Anu, I really appreciate you being on the show today, and your insight and wisdom for sure has helped everyone that's on the call and will hear this in the future. And so thanks so much, and know that I'm always cheering for you.
Thank you, I know. I appreciate it.
All right, Anu. That was Anu, everyone. And chartyourjourney.com, and Anu is just a wonderful human being with the great power to heal and many great products, so please check her site out. So once you figure out what right work is for you, or maybe you have an idea, how do you find right work? That's the magic question. I wish I had the answer for you. I mean, I don't, but I'm going to give you some quick ideas. I think first you have to look in the right places as opposed to the wrong places. I mean, so many people, they go from one lousy job to the next lousy job, and that's because they ask themselves, well, what am I good at? And they don't think about, well, but do I enjoy it? So to find right work, you have to start to look in the right places. You know, I write and talk a lot about the need to look at your own abilities and match them with deep interest. And abilities to me are things that, you know, what are things that you can do if you were motivated to do? And there's a big difference between just being good at something and being motivated to do something. For example, you know, if the light bulb here in my office, as I look up at the ceiling, goes out right now, I probably know how to fix it. You know, I have to get a big ladder. It's a certain kind of a light bulb. It's really hard to get out. But I probably know what to do. So I guess I have the ability to deal with it. But I really am not motivated at all. And I would never do it. I would just hire somebody to do it. It's a 14-foot wall, et cetera, et cetera. So first, figure out what are you really able to do that you're motivated to do, and then look at your deep interests, and then see which ones match. I always say that's the best place to start, you know, the intersection of your powerful abilities and interests. Of course, you know, also look at your purpose in your life and where you want to make a contribution. You know, where do you want to make a contribution? Usually there's many areas, but you got to start with one, and then you start small. And as I like to write about, think about your values and what's most important to you. See, so to find right work, you really have to look in the right places. Now, once you find right work, how do you keep it? How do you keep right work? I suggest people figure out how to be an expert at something. It's better to be an expert, especially after 40, at something than just average at many things. What's exciting is once you find right work, you really work hard to learn more about it. And so once you've found what you really love, start to do a couple things. You know, improve your education. You know, build up a support network. I like to suggest that everyone has at least a half a dozen people that they can hang around, contact with, you know, on a weekly basis that just makes them feel good because they're around people that, you know, you're around people that have the same interests as you do. And then find maybe two or three people a week that you could hang around. And when I say hang around, it could be you could read a book. It could be someone that's not even living. It could be an online forum. It could be email. It could be a meeting that you go to. But find a couple people, two, three people, on a regular basis. And I like weekly because it keeps the momentum going, if not biweekly. Two or three people that not only are interested in what you're interested in, but they can send you ideas. And then finally, find somebody who's a guru, who's a mentor, who's a coach. You know, I do coaching with people all over the world via Skype over a period of 3 to 6 months, and people find it helpful, and I think they find it helpful because as adults, most of us really have no one to turn to for deep issues around our life. I mean, we have our spouses who, in most cases, love us but have vested interests, as they should, and they're the wrong people to give advice. And if we don't have that support network, who do we go to? You know, most of us never had coaches unless we were in sports. And if you're over 40, and for example, for women, you know, there weren't that many sports teams that were available when you were in school. It's a fairly new phenomenon in the late 70s. So getting coaching, getting some people around you that could just reinforce and give you some ideas. Now, once you start to become more of an expert at doing what you love, as Anu suggested, you really have to find ways to celebrate yourself, to celebrate. And I don't mean, you know, you get to wear jeans on Friday and you get to go to the Christmas party and you get a parking spot and all those silly things. But really, as Anu said, finding things that you really enjoy and use those as anchors to celebrate your progress. I'll give you my own example. I love the New York Times, I have to admit it. And, you know, it's a very expensive paper. It costs like $600 a year. And just recently, I've signed up for their, it's like $15 a month, for their service on the web, you download it through Adobe Reader, and it looks like you're touching the newspaper. It's really a fantastic technology and allows me on a regular basis to read my beloved paper. You know, if I go a day and I don't spend at least 20 minutes reviewing the news, I actually feel a little empty just because I enjoy it for no other reason. And, you know, so that's my way that I celebrate every day, actually, is to spend 20 minutes reading the New York Times online. Now, I don't know, when I worked in corporate America, I doubt someone in HR would have come up with that as my reward, you know. So find ways to, you know, to celebrate. Find ways to celebrate that are your own. Next and finally, you know, you got to take small steps. We won't have time on this call, but make a note to yourself after this call to think about what are some small steps you could take right now to move towards right work. And I'm going to give you some ideas quickly right now. One is to start with envisioning what you want your life to look like. Without a vision, you can't move forward. Without a vision, you can't contrast it to the present. And then there's no gap, there's no problem. So first envision what you really want. And then write it down. You know, when you write things down, it's very powerful. You take an idea, you put it on paper, you externalize it, right? And it becomes very powerful. And then the third step is talk to other people. Tell everybody that you see what you're planning on doing. It reinforces. Tell strangers. It doesn't matter. Just start to talk about it. The fourth step, some of you might not like, be prepared to make big changes. You know, you can't follow what you really love to do, this has been my experience, without making big changes in your life. So be prepared to have a lighter backpack in life. Be prepared to make some changes. And the next is get support, which I talked about earlier. We have to surround ourselves, especially after 40, with people that are supportive of our development. If you're constantly around people that are negative, are not supportive, whomever they may be, you have to make a change. You got to get a new team. Next, measure your progress. You know, it could be a sophisticated tool, it could be a piece of paper, but measure your progress so you know if you're moving towards what you want as opposed to away from what you don't want. And last, celebrate. You know, maybe for you it won't be reading the New York Times, but it might be something else. Figure out what that is. It provides an anchor, it reinforces. So, you know, you can find right work. It just takes some work. It'll probably be the hardest job you've ever had. But, you know, it'll be worth it. It'll be really, really worth it. Before I wrap up this afternoon with a couple special offers, I really appreciate everyone coming. I'm going to restart this show and do it every month. I'll have a show in it late April. It'll be announced on my website. I'll have a wonderful guest, just like Anu, a client, a former client. And we'll continue this discussion. This is a free show. Tell your friends. The vision I have with my new show is to really provide lots and lots of ideas every month through these interviews and through my own thoughts to help people figure out what is right work for you. I have time for just a couple quick questions if there's any. I'm going to pause for a moment. Any questions for myself at this point? If you have questions later, you could also email me. If you go to craignathanson.com, I have my forum, which has been running about 8 years. and you could ask a question there. I also have a blog, which has been running for 6 years at craignathanson.com. You could ask a question there, and you could email me at craig@thevocationalcoach.com. So for all of you on the call, or for all of you that end up listening to this call, as this is recorded, and I'll have it on my site soon, a couple offers I like to give. Number one, my new book is out, How to Find the Right Work During Challenging Times, and it's available as an e-book for $9.99. Can't beat the price. And then it's also available as an old-fashioned book for $20. And you can get this soon on Amazon, but you'll get it cheaper at my site at thevocationalcoach.com. No charge for shipping. If you're on the call today, if you go into my online store at thevocationalcoach.com, you can pick out any CD. I have 25 of them. I have 3 books, and I have various coaching packages, 3 and 6 months. If you find something you like, email me, and I will give you a coupon for 20% off for anything. And for the coaching, it actually adds up, I think, to like $500 off for 6 months and $200 or $300 off for 3 months. But anyway, if you find anything that would be valuable to you from my store, email me and mention you're on this call, and I'll send you a coupon for 20%. And again, I'll have this this call on my site within a few days, and then you could listen and get more ideas. And I want to thank everyone for joining. And in summary, I want to say that, you know, there's some things we can't control in life, like when we're born and when we go, but we can control everything else in between. And I think, you know, who we are is determined mostly by the work we do. And that's why this, you know, this topic of finding right work is really, really, really important. And I want to encourage all of you to continue to answer the question, you know, what work must emerge through me? So have a passionate afternoon or day or night whenever you're listening to this call. We'll see you at the end of April, and I'm cheering all of you as I go. Thanks. Goodbye, everybody.